I was impressed that the tornadoes are being created by you.
Me?
A tornado is caused by two different fronts of air, one warm, one cold. And your testimony is going forth around to people that are around you. And the interaction of the Holy Ghost through you, even just your presence, goes out. And the clash of the air front, clashing with the air front caused by the Holy Spirit, is creating tremendous turbulence, which is the tornadoes. But you're not touched. And they're not coming against you. It's just they're a supernatural result of Jesus in you. This is something I want to share that is, it's right on theme with what we were talking about earlier, but it wasn't released. So I've been reading a variety of things, and I'm not sure how many can associate with this, but you read a little bit of this book, and you read the Word, a little bit of this book, and you hear something over here, and it's like it's all in a theme, you know? But that author doesn't know that author, and how they, you know. So the principle is that which creates something governs that thing. In the lab, when we react two chemistries together, the reaction that creates that governs the properties of the compound that it makes. So if I ask you, who created the heavens and the earth? Everybody would say, God did, right? Mm-hmm. But if I ask you, what created the heavens and the earth? What would the response be? It was His Word. In Genesis, the Word says, let there be light, for example. Mm-hmm. But in the Hebrew, it's actually light be.
Right.
It's a command, a declaration. I think the English part waters that down. Instead of,
it was a direct command.
Yeah, Susan, you know, let your brother go kind of thing as compared to... The Hebrew word be is equivalent to the Greek word amen. And that word has been so religified, that's not even a word, I know, but the religious spirit has said, okay, amen, amen. But that's the same word that God used to create all creation. So why did God choose to speak the worlds into existence? To speak them. He had so many different ways He could have made the world and the whole creation. Why speak? And that's because He wanted to create a word-governed creation. I've been working through, why is it so important what I say? I mean, it's words. They go into the air.
Right.
So why is that so important? And then actually in the car on the way here, I said to something to Anne, I'm not sure I've ever said to her before. I said, you're a trap for me. When we share our innermost thoughts with someone with whom we're very close to, our guard goes down. We're relaxed. And when we're relaxed, our emotions can start to take charge. And we end up speaking out of our mouth things in our soul that we would not have otherwise chosen to speak. And as we speak that, we are creating that. We have someone very close to us right now that's going through some talk therapy, I guess we'll call it. You know, a psychologist is running it. And so I was writing through this, and Lord, what is going on? And He said, psychology is where people confess and talk about their hurts and problems. And all confession should lead to the cross. Otherwise, it is lust for the soul. And I heard that said, no, Lord, you mean lust of the soul. No, it's lust for
the soul. Yeah. The soul enjoys it.
So because his word governs the creation, because he wanted a word governed creation. But wait a minute, he gave us dominion over the earth that Adam lost when he sinned, but Christ regained with the crucifixion and resurrection. So therefore, now our word governs our earth. So that's why it's so important, because it's not just in agreement, but when your word finds agreement with his word, mm-hmm. then you access power mm-hmm. that is unlimited. And we've had this conversation for the past almost year about, yeah, but that's not the way it is. Hmm. Heard that? You know, I'm trying to confess something positive, but that's not the way it is. That's not the facts, right? Mm-hmm. Which is, what was facts? Something attempting to cheat the saints. So I wanted to share that, you know, A, beware that of that trap. I'm not sure, you know, you could be sharing with a relative, whatever, and they care about you, and all of a sudden you start, you know, going down into how you feel about things instead of what you want to speak into existence. And there's probably more in this coming, but it is a word-governed creation, which frankly, until the past few days, I did not understand. I've heard all the sermons, I've heard all, you know, all the things, scripture, but I didn't understand that.
Are you understanding it now?
To a degree.
To a degree. Okay.
It's knocking on my knower.
Your knower.
I like that. All right. Well, your knower is really your within.
Yes.
Spirit. It's your spirit reality. And when you realize that Jesus is the Word incarnate, and he became flesh,
right.
and dwelt. He dwelt among us, now he dwells where? He's in us. Right. So he dwelt among us, but now he's dwelling
in us.
So what's the difference between a believer speaking and a sinner speaking?
Well, it's just my opinion. I think a believer speaking is speaking the word of God, and it's coming from his spirit, which is God. And a believer is just speaking words to speak words.
Okay.
I mean a sinner, I'm sorry.
A sinner is going to talk about his emotions, his feelings, his experience. And he's going to talk about all the things that are important to him. So he's actually...
A sinner is speaking from his soul.
Yeah, from his soul. Because, see, we're no longer sinners. We're saints.
Right. But the believer has a choice.
Oh, the believer has a choice.
Choose to speak from his soul.
Yep.
Or choose to speak from his
soul. He can switch whichever.
So are you saying that if a believer chooses at a particular time to speak from their soul, they're a sinner?
No, absolutely not. He doesn't change his stripes, okay?
Mm-hmm.
He's still a believer. A believer is one who has made a declaration that he belongs to Jesus Christ. His sins are washed away, and that's bottom line. So when even believers call themselves sinners, they're lying. Because they're believing a lie. Because a believer is one who has committed his life to Jesus Christ. Jesus already paid his debt. He's making payments for what? It's like somebody paid your mortgage and you're still making payments and the bank says, hey, what do you want me to do with this money? Jesus paid for all of your debt, all of your sin. It's paid for. St. Paul writes, he doesn't write to sinners. He writes to the saints. Check it out. There's how many letters that he's written? To the saints. So you are saints, but you're under construction. Okay? So now, well, your kitchen's under construction. Do you like what you see?
No.
All right. When you're under construction, there's going to be all kinds of messes everywhere. There's going to be, tornadoes created by what's going on. But what I'm believing that God is trying to get us to awaken to is it's time to be accountable for what you speak. And when you make a mistake, repent quickly. And you study James chapter 3. If you look at it in the Amplified, it says the power of your lips and your tongue can either create for hell or for heaven. It's up to you. And you are a believer. Okay? I mean, there are times that I'm listening to believers making a confession. And I'll do my best not to reprimand them because they would get another injury and I would have another problem on my hands. Okay? So I don't agree. I'll say, well, and I'll change the subject. And Bob, my buddy, okay, many times when he's having a problem, I'll turn it around, I'll flip him over, and turn the sentence in a way that it will be constructive. That's your job as a believer. To a brother or a sister. To those who don't understand you, sometimes you just need to be quiet. Just literally be quiet. Don't respond because you're going to create and you're going to agree and it's going to create the next level of destruction instead of construction. Mm-hmm. Now, if your carpenters are in there and they come back in tomorrow and they work all day and you see the progress, you're going to say, wow. Right? Mm-hmm. What if they don't show up? Mm-hmm. You're still going to say, wow, but from a different experience.
Mm-hmm. Yes?
Yes? Well, that shows you if you have now died with Christ or if you're still alive doing your own thing. And as believers, we still do our own thing more than what I would like to see. I'm talking about me. I'm not talking about you guys because each one can answer for himself. What I am saying, however, is the words you speak are going to construct either for heaven or hell. Mm-hmm. And believe me, the enemy knows how to agree with you.
Yep.
When I say the enemy knows, it doesn't always come back to you in the form of words. It comes back to you in the form of thoughts. Mm-hmm. And the minute you have activated your presence to go out there and do what God told you to do, the accuser's already saying 101 excuses, it ain't going to work. And if you agree with those, it ain't going to work, your unbelief is visible. And when your unbelief is visible, you have a choice. You should be quiet and get your soul to start listening. And say, wait a minute, this has got to stop. I'm going in the wrong direction. Yes or no?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
When I'm going in the wrong direction, don't you have an awareness that you're about to go over a cliff?
Yep.
Okay. Then cry out for help. That's why he gave you and I the Holy Ghost. That's why he gave us that ability to pray in the Spirit instead of praying out of our cotton-picking brain. Because your brain is infested with lies. I'm not trying to accuse you. I'm telling you. Your brain is infested with lies. Mm-hmm. You've had lies from the time you were this high. My little grandson is 2 years old. He doesn't need a training to let me know I hate you. That's what he told me the other day. Now, I could have chosen to respond. I looked at him. And I said, Matthew, I love you too. He looked at me and he stuck his tongue out at me. Okay? Well, that's his trick because he knows that when he sticks out his tongue, his father grabs his tongue and tries to control it. What do? I run after him and he loves it. Until obviously he pulls his tongue in. What am I saying? I'm saying there's a way to turn things around. St. Paul consistently told the disciples and told the churches, think about what you're doing. Respond according to the word that you have within you, not to the emotional turmoil that you're on. You say, is that the message? Yeah, I believe it is the message. But I want to take you just for a couple of moments to the same scriptures that we were on Sunday. Galatians chapter 5. Very briefly. Say, Father, give me ears to hear.
Father, give me ears to hear.
Eyes to see.
Eyes to see.
And my heart to comprehend.
And my heart to comprehend.
How important this word. Can be to me. Verse 1. It is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Change the word Christ to anointed, because that's what it means. It is for freedom that the anointing has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. Mark my word, I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, Christ, or the anointing, will be of no value to you at all. Now, in St. Paul's day, there were two churches. There was a church that was still living under the law, under the Mosaic Ten Commandments. And there was a church that was started by Paul, who was free and depending on grace and favor from God to take them through whatever trial or difficulties they may have. So that's what he's talking about. Mark my words, verse 2. I, Paul, tell you that if you let yourselves be circumcised, the anointing will be of no value to you at all. Again, I declare to every man who lets himself be circumcised that he is obligated to obey the whole law, meaning all the Ten Commandments. Amen? You who are trying to be justified by law have been alienated from the anointing. You have fallen away from grace. In other words, when you're trusting in yourself, you don't need grace. You're being in self-control, and you're going to be proud of how you are holy in your own eyes. Verse 5. But by faith we eagerly await through the Spirit the righteousness for which we hope. That's another word for faith. For it is Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision has any value. The only thing that counts is faith expressing itself through love. In that day, the church that was coming from the Jewish background was extremely involved in trying to do all the legal things that they had been brought up with. And St. Paul had learned that it's by faith that you're going to be justified. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ that you've been set free, and you need to start walking in that and not to be always counting yourself holy in your own eyes. Because what happens is there's a lot of people out there that are doing what Christ supposedly said to do, which they think the Ten Commandments are the way to go. I'm not saying that you shouldn't observe those commandments. What I am saying is when they become a law to themselves, you have a problem. But if you live under the anointing of love, you're going to never steal. You're never going to go, your neighbor's wife is not going to be a problem for you. I mean, the law of love is greater. It's higher. And that's what Jesus said. He said, love one another as I have loved you. In other words, he wasn't on their case for every mistake they made. Because, you see, he knew he was the solution. Okay? I want you to kind of go down to verse 13. You, my brothers, were called to be free. But do not use your freedom to indulge the sinful nature. Rather serve one another in love. Does that tell you clearly? The entire law is summed up in a single command. Love your neighbor as yourself. There goes the Ten Commandments. Love your neighbor as yourself. If you keep on biting and devouring each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. So I say, live by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of the sinful nature. For the sinful nature desires, and I could go on and give you all those things, and I'm not going to do that. You can read those for yourself. Verse 22. The fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. Against such things there is no law. Those who belong to Christ Jesus have crucified the sinful nature with its passions and desires. Since we live by the Spirit, let us keep in step with the Spirit. Let us not become conceited, provoking, and envying each other. Self-explanatory, correct? What God is looking for from church is a love flow to each other without condemnation. That's what he's looking for. And it doesn't start with your neighbor, it starts with you. He wants you to love yourself the way you are and let him, as you ask for grace, as you ask for favor, if you've got a weakness, what are you going to do about it? Are you going to try to solve it on your own? I did. And you know what? The more I tried, the more I failed. And I had a test this weekend. I had somebody come to my house that I love very dearly. And they are prone to making bad decisions. And I've known that for a long time. But I also know that there's a time to speak and a time to shut up. Okay? So they made a choice to start using a form of tobacco that is destructive. And, oh, everything in me wanted to scream because my grandfather used to put that stuff underneath their cheeks there or in the mouth.
Chewing tobacco,
right. Oh, and I can still remember the spittoon, and I still have one of those. And it was like, oh, my God, this kid is doing this. And everything in me wanted to scream. Could you believe I put on a smile? I said, Lord, I need help here because I'm about to explode. I want to warn. I want to say you're going to get cancer of the mouth. I'm going to say this, this, this. And the Lord said, quiet. Why don't you just confess what you want done when you and I are talking together? So around 2:30 that morning, I woke up and the Lord said, now you can sit down and have your communion with me, and let's agree for the one that's making the bad choice. Instead of jumping in that situation and creating mess number 99 or 139 or whatever. And so I've learned to shut up. And that's grace, believe me. I know my old background. I know what I would have done. I know how I would have spoken. I've got an instant replay right here. Anybody got instant replay?
Mm-hmm.
Thank you. So, just close your eyes right now. Say, Lord Jesus, I didn't think I'd be crying out for help about my mouth. But because of John and his testimony, because of Anne, they came here with a real plan to set the captives free. And we have been captivated sometimes by our emotions and how our mouth goes off with it. Tonight we cry out for help. Holy Spirit, we need you.
Holy Spirit, we need you.
We need you more than ever.
To realize
we were sinners.
Now we're saints.
We accepted the healer. So healing is coming in. And my mouth,
right now,
can be used for good.
Or for destruction.
It's up to me. So I'm asking for help
to make my confession.
That all things work together for good.
For
those who love the Lord.
And are called according to His purpose.
And that's me.
And that is me.
Hallelujah. Amen.